Let us all say amen. I don't know about you. I want him to reserve a mansion, a robe, and a crown. And I know the only way I'm going to get that mansion, that robe, and that crown is I take time on this time side of life to prepare myself to receive that mansion, that robe, and that crown. And I like the last verse there because it says, I'll wear a smile so bright. And I'm learning I can smile right now. I don't know about you. God is good. And because of the goodness of God, he's allowed you and I to be part of the body of Christ, the church. And church, if that don't motivate you, if that don't move you, check your pulse. Because you just might be part of the walking dead. I'm working on a lesson called The Walking Dead. I want to know how many of us are walking around, but are like Rover. Dead all over. And so this morning is good to see each and every one of you. I don't know about you. I'm excited because God has blessed me immensely. And I'm talking about the spiritual blessings. I'm not like most people. I don't walk around downhearted. I'm not like most people. I understand who is in control of everything that goes on in life. And that person is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm reminded that Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 5, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And, you know, I care for people in my household, people I run in contact with. But you know what? I cannot care for them the way the Lord cares for you. And I just want to encourage each and every one of us as this year draws to a close, and it's coming real fast. I want to encourage you to stop and do some inventory. Look at where you're at. Look at where you've come from. And look at where you plan to go for the Lord in 2020. If he says the same, I want to be the most excited person on the face of the earth. I want to be the most. Yeah, I know y'all looking. Amen. That's on you. But church, I'm somewhere down the line. We have to believe what we read. And I believe what I read. One that gave me a testimony this morning. Can I share it, sister? She said after we had prayer on Wednesday night, the pain subsided. And I know that's not your typical Church of Christ stuff. I know, you know. But I believe what's in the Bible. James chapter 5. And round about verse 13, this is all preliminary before I get to my lesson. James says, if there's any sick among you, let him call. Not put on the prayer list, but let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. See, these are things that in the book that we don't practice. And maybe that's why we are just so haphazard in everything that we do. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly daily in the apostles' doctrine. You understand why it's so difficult to stay on track? We don't meet every day. Amen. Amen. And you know what? If we met every day, we probably wouldn't have half of the problems that we have on this time side of life. I don't meet my wife once a week. Amen, Walls. I don't meet her once a week. I meet her every day, and every day, there's conversation backwards and forwards. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that every day I meet my Lord and Savior. And every day we have a conversation. And he reminds me, stand, examine yourself, whether or not you are in this thing. Oh, yes, I have a conversation every day with my Lord. And I'm constantly looking at and reminding myself what he requires of me. He requires me to do what he has commanded. And you know, the interesting part about it, all of us voluntarily went in this water, didn't you? Amen. Oh, you ain't got but one amen in here. But all of us went in this watery grave. And do you realize what you committed yourself to be? You said, Lord, I am willing to die for your cause. That's what you said. Oh, you didn't read the fine print. You need to learn how to read the fine print. When you go buy something, learn to read the fine print because there's a clause in there. If you don't aware of it, it will hurt you. For the next few minutes, I want to draw your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. For the past 12 months, we have been dealing with this text where Paul talks about who we are as children of the Most High God. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ that have obeyed from the heart, Romans 6, 17 and 18, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, and have been added to the body of Christ by the watery grave of baptism. He's placed us in the church, into his body. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Paul says in verse number 20, now then, now that you're in Christ Jesus, you need to understand something about who you are. And I'm learning that as an ambassador, God expects the very best from me. Yes, amen. I expect the very best from him. Oh, y'all can't say that. Why be in this thing if you don't expect the very best thing? You should have been in Bible class. I believe my brother read out of Psalms 103, the benefits of being in Christ. I got some benefits. I don't know about you. The benefits to know that in the midst of all of that goes on, he's still in control. Amen. Even in on my sick bed, yes, he's still in control. Amen. When I had trials and tribulation, he says, you cast them on me. Yes. And guess what? I'll take care of them. Yes. And I'm learning that his way is not my way. Because see, when I cast my cares upon him, I want him to fix it yesterday. Yes. And he says, my grace is sufficient. Yeah. And church, and I'm learning that as children of God, we really need to understand what we have commissioned ourselves in doing. We have been commissioned by the greatest God of the universe, and he expects the very best out of you and I. And so Paul says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. He says, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled. And it's one word in this whole text that just blows me away. And that word is, he's made me the righteousness of him. Boy, can you just imagine how righteous God must feel when you and I get things right? Yes. Can you imagine what joy and what love the Father has for each and every one of us when we understand that he made the very best, he made Jesus to be sin for you? And I want to encourage you as we look at this lesson. Title of the lesson this morning, I'm going to give you a title here. Ambassadors of Christ serves with joy. If you ain't joyful about what you're in, get out. When I was in the world, I didn't want to hear nothing about no Jesus. Pass the bottle or pass the doobie on the other side. Oh, y'all looking at me like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. But now that I am in Christ Jesus, I don't need all of that stuff. Why? Because I've learned to lay that stuff aside. And you know why I lay it aside? Because it hinders me in my Christian walk. That's why Paul says, lay aside those things that so easily beset us. And we live in a world that is so easily to be upset over. All you have to do is turn on the TV. If it don't upset you, you'll be depressed. If it don't depress you, you'll think about checking out. The world we live in a mess. But Peter said, God has given us everything we need, and it's right here in this book. And so this morning, as we look at the ambassadors, we serve with joy. This means, and it helps us to understand who we are. I'm here this morning not because of you. No, I'm here this morning because of the joy that I have to know that he has washed away all of that dirt. Oh, I got a testimony, but I can't testify to you. But I got a testimony this morning, church, that I know I came out of the cesspools of immorality. You did too, whether you know it or not, but you did too. But the God of heaven saw fit to clean me up. And let me show you the benefits that we have in Christ Jesus that I think sometimes we just take for granted. Colossians chapter 1 and round about verse number 13. Listen to what Paul says. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. God has delivered me. And if I've been delivered, shouldn't I act like that? I got a check in my pocket that'll take care of every financial need you got. How many of you want it? You're laughing, but you don't know whether or not I got one, do you? Jesus has a check that'll deliver you from everything that you've done present and in your past. The question is, do you want his check? If you do, you got to do something. You got to surrender you. Yes, sir. And then in surrendering you, you got to be willing to take up your cross and follow him. As ambassadors of Christ, we need to serve with joy. And joy comes with an understanding of who we serve. I serve a God that holds the world in the hollow of his hand. I serve a God that was willing to send the very best of heaven for me.
Yes.
For me.
Yes.
You can have him too, but he sent him for me. John chapter 3, verses 16. We know that by heart, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. That's why I don't have time to condemn you. No, he sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Paul said, God demonstrated how much he loved me. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, in that while I was still a sinner, Christ had already died. Boy, what an awesome God that I serve, and what an awesome God that you serve. If you will just surrender to his will, in the midst of our trials and tribulations, in the midst of everything that goes on in life itself, somewhere down the line, the believer rises to a higher plateau and he can smile in the midst of everything that goes on. Why? Because he knows who's in control. James chapter 1 and round about verse number 2. Listen to what James says. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Knowing this, what do you know this morning? Huh? Do you know something this morning? How many of y'all know something?
Amen.
Y'all don't know? Well, I know. I know that he knows that I know that in the final analysis, if I remain steadfast and unmovable, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, he's promised me a crown that fadeth not away. He's promised me a mansion, a robe, and a crown. And somewhere down the line, I believe as believers, we got to reach this plateau. See, we should not walk around as if we have no hope. That's the world. Amen, Walls. Y'all not with me this morning? That's all right. I'm going to go on and be like Paul. I'm going to get caught up in this third heaven here in a few minutes. Church, somewhere down the line, as the people of God, we have to understand in serving God, it brings a joy that men cannot understand. I have a joy in the Lord that most people just look at me and say, boy, you ought to be miserable. No, no. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, count it all joy. Why do I count it all joy? No, that's not the text. Y'all ain't even listening to me. Y'all ain't even following along. Mm-hmm. See, one thing I've learned, that when you get up here and speak, somebody got to check you. Amen, Walls. Why? It's easy to misquote. It's easy to get off a track. But Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything through prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when God takes care of everything else, he gives you this benefit. Verse number 7 said, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. That's right. Some people can't handle me. And it ain't me. It's the spirit that work in me.
Yeah.
And see, when we have that same spirit that works in one another, boy, it elevates us and takes us to a higher plateau. The best place on the face of the earth is not Disneyland. The happiest place on the face of the earth is not Disneyland. Church is right here.
Amen.
And boy, we act like we're at a funeral. Amen, Walls. James chapter 1 and verse number 2. That's right. Somewhere down the line, church, I don't know, either we believe it or we just close up and just gone on about our merry way. I'm a firm believer. If I'm going to go to hell, I'm going to go right. Amen. If I'm going, I'm going to go right. I don't need you to help me.
Okay.
Amen. I don't need no help. I used to work for the fella. Amen. And I was pretty good with him. If I'm going to go to heaven, I need you to help me to get there. That's right. And how are you going to help me? We're going to be like iron. We're going to sharpen one another.
Amen.
When I fall short, you ought to be there to pick me up. When you fall short, I ought to be there to pick you up. But see, we understand that we're members one of another. We don't have the same care for one another, do we? Yep, that's what I thought. We don't have the same love for one another, do we? That's what I thought. Because when you look at the first century church, Acts chapter 4, the Bible said they had all things in common. Neither did they say what belonged to them was theirs, but they were willing to depart to every man that had a need.
Yes.
That ought to be the church, huh? Time of natural disaster, where's the church? Y'all quiet. Folks stands in need. Where's the church? Now, don't misunderstand me. I ain't talking about these four walls. I'm talking about us. When it's time to make the difference in the life of those that we come in contact with, where is the church? Jesus said, these people draw nigh. The prophet said, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips. Heart, far from me. For in vain do they teach the doctrine, the commandments of men. Y'all quiet this morning. I'm almost finished. No, I'm not. James chapter 1. Verse number 2. I'm in no rush. If you got your pot stew on, you better go check it, because I ain't no telling how long I might be up here. But somewhere down the line, church, I enjoy what I do. I don't know about you. I enjoy being around folks that are excited, that are motivated. I enjoy being around God's people. You know why? I can let my hair down. I don't know what I'm going to do to get y'all going. But somewhere down the line, church, this is the best place on the face of the earth. It's assembled with the like-minded of God's people. And James says, so count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. If you stand in need, you don't understand who you are. That's right. If somewhere down the line, if you can't get it right, you don't understand who you are. Because John says, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. See, I want to encourage us that in the midst of our trials and tribulations, and you know what I call trials and tribulations? Life. You bumped into life. How many of y'all bumped into life? Oh, yeah. Life ain't kind, is it? And some of us that got the gray, I got gray on this morning. It ain't kind to us at all. Some mornings you can't put one foot in front of the other. But the grace of God. And that's what we have to depend on. And I'm learning, the more I depend on him, the less I worry about everything else. See, in the midst of our trials and tribulations, we need to understand who's in control. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12, Paul says, wherefore let him who thinketh he stands take heed, lest he falls. For there is no temptation taking you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able to bear, but with the temptation also will make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. I don't know about you, that when things happen, I first call on my Father.
Amen.
Amen. Why? He owns the whole world. He's the one that takes care of everything else. See, to serve with joy, first and foremost, it requires a total surrender of you. Amen. And I'm learning that. You know how we like to straddle a fence, Henry? You know how we like to do this? One foot in the world, other foot on Jesus. Depends on what the world has to offer, boy, we get both feet up there, huh? And when the world dog us out and misuse us and abuse us, oh, Lord, help me. No, you know, somewhere down the line, we got to depend on him 24/7. And so when the world misuses and abuses us, it won't be nothing strange to us, but it requires a total surrender. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desire to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Well, what does it mean to deny myself? I'm not important. Anybody in here think you not important? I didn't think so. Because everybody sitting up in here think you all of that in a bag of chips, don't you? Come on now, tell me the truth. Every one of us think we are the gift to something. Let me move on. He says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose his life. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And then Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Not only must it require a total surrender of one's will, but it requires us to develop the mind of Christ. Christ had a mindset. John chapter 8, verse 29, Jesus said, I always do the things that please my Father. John chapter 6 and verse number 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. John chapter 9 and verse number 9, just verse number 4, Jesus said, I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day, for the night is coming when no man can work. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28, Jesus said, the Son of Man didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. If Jesus came and did all of that for you and I, what you think he expect us to do? The exact same thing. And I'm learning, church, that when we start doing what God requires us to do, the cares of this world won't dictate to us, but we'll be dictated by the things that we know that are in the Word of God. We must learn to develop the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Paul says, wherefore God has highly exalted him and have given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, bow now or bow later. You know that old cliche, pay me now or pay me later? He said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is the Son of the living God. Church, I want to encourage us and remind us in your Christian walk, serve him with some happiness, with some joy in your everyday life. And I guarantee you, when you run into somebody in the world, they won't even affect you. Why? Because greater is he that's in me. And I'm learning the only way you do that, you got to surrender. You got to develop the mind of Christ. And then you got to learn how to put down the one-eyed monster and pick up the 66 books. Hey, I better say that again in case you missed it. Put down that one-eyed monster. My remote a little bigger than that. Pick up the 66 books. Because in these 66 books, he's given you everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. In these 66 books, in the midst of everything that you go through, he's there to help you. Stop spending that money at them psychiatrists and come see me. Why? The best doctor on the face of the earth is right here. And all you have to do is pick him up and read him. Not only must you develop the mind of Christ, you got to study this thing. And I'm learning. You just can't pick up the verse of the day. How many of y'all like the verse of the day? Go on, tell the truth. And how many of y'all read beyond the verse of the day? Okay, very good. Now, what did the verse of the day say for today? Boy, I'd be fishing. I'd be looking for you. But I'm learning that when you start reading, meditate upon it. In the past month, I've changed the way I do things in my car. Now, I listen to my Bible wherever I go. I've put down Soul Town, put down The Groove. Some of y'all may not know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about satellite radio. CNN, I done got rid of him. And I'm learning to listen to what thus saith the Lord. And you know what it's starting to do? It's starting to control this thing here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I don't think about all the foolishness things that go on. You know, how many of y'all get mad at the drop of a hat? You don't have to raise your hand because I know I do and I know good and well you do too. But I'm learning. It's not that important. It's not that important. The only thing that's important is when you prepare to leave this time side of life. Yeah. What will he say? Well done or depart? I don't know you, but I'm learning. You got to study every single day. 2 Timothy 2:15. We know that by heart, don't we? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. Psalms division 1, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. Psalms 119 and verse number 97. The psalmist said, oh, how I love thy law. It is the meditations all the day. And you know something? The psalmist said in the conclusion of 105, it's a lamp, it's a light to my path. It directs me. And I'm learning, church, that when you let go and let the word of God, boy, you won't worry about half of the things that go on. That's right. And I'm learning the only way you do that. surrender your will, develop his mindset, and then study and meditate upon the word of God. And no matter what transpires in life, it will not hinder you in your Christian walk. But you got to talk about the right things. See, I'm learning how to get away from the weather. It's easy to talk about, huh? Everybody in here can talk a conversation with everybody about the weather, can't you? And most of the time, that's what you do, huh? But how many times have you talked about the man that makes the weather? Huh? How many times you talk about the elements that are in the weather? No, we talk about everything but Jesus Christ. And I'm learning that the more you talk about the word of God, the more you live it in your everyday life. Boy, there's a joy that comes with this. I am happy because I know I am saved. That's what motivates me, to know that when I die, he's going to dispatch them heavenly pallbearers to take me on to the other side. How can you be so confident about what you're saying? Because Paul said we ought to be having some boldness when we come to the throne of God. Oh, yes. And all I see in the history of the Old Testament is those individuals that believed in God believed with boldness. Hezekiah is a good example. On his way to death, and with a bold face, he turned and cried and asked God to remember his service. And the Bible said he added 15 years to. I believe what's in my Bible. And church, and I'm learning the more you believe and practice what is in this book, the more you'll be able to move forward. See, not only must we study and meditate, it must be something that we do every single day. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Paul says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Paul says, set your mind, set your affections where? On things above and not on things of the earth, because you're dead. And your life is hidden with Christ. Do you not know that when you went in this watery grave, you died to your physical man? Oh, y'all didn't read that fine print either? Huh. I want to show you in looking at the joys of serving God. I'm going to show you something this morning. That in serving God, the only reason you might be out of whack is because you choose to be. That's right. Because you choose to be. You don't have to. I want to show you this morning a couple examples of individuals that served the Lord with joy and was willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, and they counted it joy that they were able to do that. Yes. You know, how many people talk about you as a Bible thumper? Come on, y'all. They don't talk about you as a Bible thumper. Maybe you better check yourself. Better check yourself. Why? Because the joy we have is letting folks know that he is alive and well. And you can see him inside of each and every one of us. In Acts chapter 5, I want to show you this individuals here. In Acts chapter 5, Peter and the apostles stand before the Sanhedrin. And as they stand before the judgment seat of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they command Peter and the rest of the apostles not to teach in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, as they start to teach in the name of Jesus, folks are beginning to believe that he is the Son of God. Many are leaving the Sanhedrin and coming to Jesus. And as a result of this, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are really upset. And they say, you have taken and filled all of Jerusalem with your doctrine, intending to bring this man's blood upon us. And so they get upset at the boys. In Acts chapter 5 and verse number 28, I've said all that to get you to this passage. Verse 28 says, saying, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you fill all of Jerusalem with your doctrine. Man, Henry, Johnson. Boy, could you imagine if all of us got out here and talked about Jesus in Apple Valley? Ooh-wee. He took 12 men and turned the world upside down. There are more than 12 up in here. The Bible says they told him not to. And the Bible says in the rest of that passage, and intending to bring this blood, this man's blood upon us, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And church, and I'm learning that when you obey God, as a servant of God, as an ambassador of God, there's joy no matter what transpires. Drop down to around about verse number 40 in that same text. The Bible says, and to them they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council. Doing what? Come on, y'all, work with me. Somebody tell me what he said. Rejoicing. How can you rejoice in being beaten? You got to understand who's in control. The Bible says, and they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Boy, that's some powerful stuff there. That lets me know that in the midst of my trials and tribulations, if I stay on track and do what God requires, I'll have joy. When other men say you shouldn't have no joy. In our lesson text here this morning in 2 Corinthians, Paul reminds us that we are ambassadors. And as we serve God, we ought to serve him with some joy in our everyday life. I don't know about you. I serve him with joy because I understand something. You know what I understand? That Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Hey, amen. I serve him with joy because I know I could not do it. He sent the very best for me. That's what motivates me. That's what drives me. Acts chapter 8 and round about verse number 37. Acts chapter 8. Boy, don't get old. Too late. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Philip is called by the Spirit to go down and join himself to this eunuch. And as he talks to this eunuch, he begins at the same scripture and teach him about Jesus Christ. As they go along, they find the body of water, and the eunuch says, "Here's water. What does hinder me that I shouldn't be baptized?" And Philip says, "If thou believe with all thy heart, thou may." And the eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He commanded the chariot to stop, and he baptized him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, he is the Son of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, he is the Son of God. Paul declared it in Acts chapter 9 and round about verse 20, that Jesus is the Son of God. And if he is the Son of God, guess what? He's overcome the world.
Yes,
oh, yeah. That's why you and I ought to be the most happiest folk on the face of the earth. I know I live in the world, but the world has not to say over me. Why? Because I serve the man who made the world. Oh, and when you understand that, why go to sleep worried about something? Some of us are so worried about everything on the face of the earth. I worry about nothing. Because if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, Paul said, I'm not worried about it. I have a house not made with hands eternal in the heaven. So what do you worry about? Scared of death, aren't we? The mummy had sense enough to know that it was just a Passover. Amen. He's overcome the world. John chapter 16. And round about verse number 33, listen to these words of what Jesus says, that he has overcome the world. You know, many of his disciples had a problem with some of the things that he said. But Jesus reminded those of his disciples that really believed in him shouldn't have to worry about nothing. Why? Look at what he says. John 16 and round about verse number 33. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In this world, you shall have tribulations. So if you don't think that you're going to have some problems, I don't know what world you live in. Because he says, in this world, you will have tribulations. But Jesus says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if he's overcome the world, guess what, church? We don't have to yield to half of the stuff that goes on in the world. You don't have to sin. Did you not? Didn't nobody tell you that? You don't have to sin. You don't have to fall short of the glory of God. Your reason why you do it is because you choose to. Romans chapter 8, Paul says, sin has no dominion over us. So why do we mess up? Because we won't fess up and allow him to do what he commands us to do. See, he's overcome the world. And as a result of overcoming the world, temptation has no say-so over us. Matter of fact, in overcoming the world, he offers us eternal salvation if you're obedient to him, if you obey him. And I'm learning Jesus set the standard for obedience. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Then being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And church, I hope and pray I've said something this morning. There's joy in being a child of God. There's joy. I'm about to say that again because I don't know if we believe that. Turn to your neighbor and tell him how much joy is in being a Christian. Boy, it ought to be. It ought to be some joy. If it's not no joy in being a Christian, why would you be one? That just doesn't make no sense to me at all. There is joy in being a child of the Most High God. And I hope and pray that I've said something just to encourage you. As this year draws to a close, I want to encourage every single one of us to stop and ask yourself a question. 2019, was God pleased with my service to him? And base that up on what's written in the book. Don't measure yourself by yourself. Don't measure yourself by someone else's. But measure yourself by what thus saith the Lord. And if you've fallen short, repent. It's just that simple. Yes, boy, it's so simple that it's scary. Repent and get on the right track. I want to encourage you this morning, whatever your needs might be, let it be known as together we stand and sing.